1 to 11, and I will be reading out of the Pulpit Bible. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare the way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And there went out to him all the country of Judea and all the people of Jerusalem, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, and had a leather girdle around his waist, and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the river Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heaven opened and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "Thou art my beloved Son, with thee I am well pleased."
Waves slam against the side of our boat. Clouds cover the moon and the stars in the sky. Utter darkness envelopes everything. Winds rend our sails. Hard driving rain pelts down on us. Brilliant flashes of lightning further blind us, etching incomprehensible and incomplete images of our surroundings. Will our boat capsize? That seems to be where this storm is driving our boat. And there is no way to know where we are, no stars to navigate by. The end is near, or so it seems. Life can feel this way at times, utterly hopeless, profoundly lost. Darkness can rule over our lives as we try to keep our head above the proverbial waves of life. Family who have passed on. Music that comes on during the sermon. Yeah. Woohoo. Okay. Thank you, Jed. That was invigorating. The Christian church in the United States decaying beyond all recognition. Outstanding bills that have no way of being paid. News of wars, conflict, ethnic cleansing, wanton violence in our streets, the immigration crisis, healthcare dysfunction, and on top of all this, nearly a year's worth of campaigning for the White House stretching out before us. Ugh. I'm reminded of 3 years ago yesterday, the violent takeover of the Capitol building, trying to delay and change the outcome of the Electoral College. I don't know about you, but I do not want to go through that again anytime soon. If it happens again, ever, it will be too soon. Lost at sea in utter darkness, waiting for our boat to capsize. Oh, man, I can feel a little hopeless here. It was the same when John the Baptizer first spoke so many centuries ago. Israel was occupied by the Romans. Puppet political and religious leaders were put in place by the Romans. The Israelites were waiting with expectation for a delivering Messiah who would wrest back control to the Jewish people. They had been waiting for generations, and they were still waiting and losing hope. They too felt hopeless. Then across the millennia, hope is and was and will be born in all manner of hopeless situations. Hope springing forth from the very beginning of creation. As Micah read in the meditation thought, the Spirit of God moved. rending the clouds. God spoke light into being. A light shone forth before the sun, moon, and stars were even created. A light that created meaning out of disorder. Day and night were birthed into being, and God called the light good. That's the first day of creation, just the beginning. The light is good. That's good news. In our gospel passage for today, the first verse is a title of sorts, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Again, we have good news. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And this good news is just the beginning, even 2,000 years later. The beginning of the good news is the opportunity to prepare the way for the Lord. John the Baptizer knew this opportunity and seized it. He called everyone who would listen to repent of their sins and be baptized, a baptism of water. John cried out, "Repent!" But what does repent mean? To repent is to change our minds, to transform our attitudes, our thoughts, words, and actions. John called people to repent, and John baptized people in water. Water has the power to change us over time. Just think about the Grand Canyon. It was carved out by the river that flows through it. Sometimes the change is so slow it's difficult to detect. In the Grand Canyon, and in our lives, only as we look over the years of our life do we see it, especially when we are raised in the church and rarely wander away. But the change is there. Water can also change us quickly, especially if there's a lot of it. John the Baptizer was in the wilderness. Sometimes in the desert, a hard rain can cause a flash flood. I think most of us have heard the phrase, "Turn around, don't drown." When the roadway is covered with water, it's better not to attempt to go through the water. Vehicles can be picked up and carried away. Passengers can drown. And sometimes on the coastline, a hurricane can submerge entire cities in water. Water can be a destructive force of change. And water can change us quickly at high pressures as well. You know, power washers can quickly clean a dirty vehicle or house. But water at high pressures can also cut through all manners of material. Rock, brick, asphalt, cement. That's change. But these are outside changes. Surface level only. Repentance calls for deeper change. John knew this deeper change was needed. That's why he told people, "Someone more powerful than me is coming. Someone much greater than me is coming. I baptize with water, but the one who is coming will baptize with the Holy Spirit of the living God." As John was baptizing people in the Jordan River, Jesus came to be baptized. So John baptized Jesus. When Jesus came up out of the river, the heavens were torn apart. Did you notice that? The heavens were torn apart. Just as on the first day of creation, when the Word of God spoke light into being, the light burst forth and the heavens were torn apart. When Jesus was baptized, once again, the heavens were torn apart to reveal the light of Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and God saw that the light was good. Jesus was the first light created on that first day of creation, and that light continued to shine forth as Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan. God called Jesus his Son, the Beloved. God says to Jesus, "With you I am well pleased." God calls Jesus good. Again. The light of the world was present at the dawn of creation. The light of the world was made known. The heavens were torn apart. on the day of Jesus' baptism. And brothers and sisters, that light continues to shine today. John the Baptizer pointed to Jesus, the light of the world, and we are called to point to that light too. How can we point other people to the light of Jesus? Well, we gather to the light of Jesus. We gather to worship in a public way. And we do public worship right here in the sanctuary or from the comfort of our homes by Zoom. But are there ways we could worship that might be more accessible to outsiders? What ways can we worship outside of this building? Say, out in our parking lot. Ooh. What about the Walmart parking lot? Hey, why don't we all gather at the Firehouse Cafe and hold a worship service? How might worship be shaped to be welcoming to a stranger who comes across it? How might worship bring people to the light of Jesus? We gather to the light of Jesus to be changed. Light reveals us for who we are. And to faithfully follow Jesus, we need to make changes. Deep changes in our attitudes towards people in our broader community. Sometimes these changes might feel painful. It might feel like they're pulling at our identity. But we are called to embrace the rending change so that the light of Jesus can shine through us. What might this look like? It might look like sacrificially sharing our resources to improve the well-being of all community members, sharing our knowledge with others, facilitating connections, generously giving of our time, sharing our money, considering our endowment and the interest from it. What is it for? How does it enable us to let the light of Jesus shine through us? What resources do we have besides money and time? I think sometimes we might underestimate our knowledge and how sharing it can improve other people's well-being. Sometimes we might not realize that our connections are valuable. Introducing someone to a person or organization can make a big difference in their life. How could we let the light of Jesus shine through us? It might look like opening a space for people to give voice to their own perceptions. It might look like allowing someone else to lead in their own way and fashion. It might involve intentional mentoring. If there's something that you do that helps to build the body of Christ, then maybe teach someone else how to do that same thing. We gather to the light of Jesus. We gather to worship. We gather to be changed. We look for where the Holy Spirit of the living God is at work in our communities, and we join in, even if sometimes that means leaving our comfort zones. Well, what comfort zones are we called out of? We often lean into mission by doing things, you know, doing service projects. Yet we are called to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ with our words everywhere we go. Whether people listen to us or not, we are called to proclaim the good news with how we use our words and time and talents to make a positive impact on our broader community. When Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, he came up out of the water and the heavens were torn apart. The clouds were rent asunder and the light burst forth. We today are called to allow the light of the world to shine through us. So let's go about the business of rending the clouds that are gathering in our lives. We are drawn to Jesus' light. Let's rend the clouds to allow the light of Christ to shine through us. Amen.